Our scripture this morning, as we continue through the book of Ruth, we arrive at chapter 3, verse 7. As last week, we had seen Naomi giving Ruth some detailed instructions on how to approach Boaz, her kinsman redeemer. And this morning, as we continue in chapter 3, verse 7 through the end, we see Ruth following those instructions as she approaches Boaz for redemption. Beginning in verse 7, the scripture says, "When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pound." Now remember, this is at the threshing floor. We talked about that last week. He's at the threshing floor where he's bringing the harvest in, and that's where Ruth is approaching him. So Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man, and he turned and discovered a woman laying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant, Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am near of kin, there is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good, let him redeem. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until the morning." So she lay at his feet until the morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized and said, "Don't be let it known that a woman came to the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me the shawl that you are wearing and hold it out." And when he did so, he poured out into it 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything that Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me the 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you see what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." Here in dream of God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are our kinsman redeemer. And we thank you for the time when you redeemed us. And so, Father, through your word this morning, may we be encouraged, may we be strengthened, and may we be refreshed through the truth of your word as we see a picture of who you are and what you've come to do for us. We thank you for that relationship that we have with you and your word that makes it possible, because your scripture says faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of God. So we thank you for your word and its power that you continue to speak to us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do any of you remember these? I can hear the reaction. You know what they are? S&H Green stamps. Anybody remember collecting those? Yeah, we did. And if you didn't know what the S&H stands for, it stood for Spurry and Hutchinson Company. And then the day when I grew up, and many of you, you would look for a sign. If you were going grocery shopping, your parents would go grocery shopping, you look for a sign that said, "We give out green stamps." And you knew that you were going to get these green stamps when you did your grocery shopping. And you'd go and you'd do your shopping. And when you cashed out, depending on how much you would spend, remember, the cashier would spin the dollar amount, and you'd come up with these long book of stamps, long thing of green stamps. And I remember that as a kid, and it was always my job when we got them home to put them in the books. Remember, you lick them and you'd put them in the books, and there was all different kinds of, you'd get the books full, and then once you collected them, you could take them to the redemption center where you could redeem your stamps. And And so it was fun to try to collect how many you could get. And often they would send you an idea book. Remember the idea book? And the idea book would show you all the things that you could get with your green stamps as you would redeem them. And you could look through your idea book and you could dream about, boy, if we had so many books of stamps, we can get this. And so they would often have in the idea book all the items and how many books of stamps you would need to get them. 13 for the TV, 21 for the guitar or whatever. And you'd save up your books. And once you got your item, what you wanted, you would go to the S&H Green Stamp Store. Anybody remember those? And you would go there to the Redemption Center. And when you went in, it often looked like that. I remember going in there. And it would often look something like that. And they would have all the items displayed. And you would take your books and say, I want this. Give them your book. And you walked home with the item. Wasn't that fun? And those days of the Redemption Center, those days are lost. But I remember those well. And so we would redeem them. And you brought home your redeemed item. And then you were able to enjoy it in your house. And just like when you went to the Redemption Center to redeem your item of choice, you and I have been redeemed by our Savior. And He chose you. And you chose Him. And we were redeemed by Him. And so what does it mean to be redeemed? The word really means to pay a price, to buy back, to buy something back. And so when you took your redemption books to the center, you were paying a price to buy something back. And you were redeeming it. You were using those stamps to redeem and to buy back. And we have been redeemed by our Savior, and that He has bought us back, and He's paid a price. It carries the idea, the word redeem or redemption carries the idea of to restore and to rescue, to be restored back, to be rescued from something, to be rescued from sin, to be rescued from danger, to be rescued from peril. And in the case of Ruth and Naomi, they were going to be rescued from their destitution and their widowed, the desperate situation they were in with their husbands dying without any children and them left in that destitute position where they didn't have anyone to help or support them. They were going to be rescued from that and to be redeemed through the Redeemer, Boaz. A picture of how Jesus rescues and redeems us. Isn't that a beautiful picture of who we are and what Jesus has done for us in restoring us back from the fall, in buying us back and restoring us back to the Lord. So this morning, as we continue through this chapter, we had seen last week that Naomi had given Ruth some very strange instructions. And we talked about that last week. It was rather foreign to us, but really it was a wedding proposal, how they would propose marriage back then. And she told her, remember, wash up, put on your best clothes, put on perfume, go down to the threshing floor where Boaz is going to be working. And when you see him, watch where he is. And then when he lays down, go and lay down at his, uncover his feet and lay down and he'll tell you what to do. It seemed, what a strange proposal, but it was basically the custom of seeing, and in through doing that, she was inviting Boaz to be her guardian, her redeemer. So she had received the instruction from Naomi. And now we pick up as she goes down to the floor where Boaz had been working, and she approaches him. And in today's passage, when she approaches him to seek redemption, she becomes being redeemed by love divine, and we are as well, that we are redeemed by the love divine of our Savior and our Redeemer. And as we look at this account together, there's three truths we can discover about what it means to be redeemed and how precious that is, and the privilege of what Jesus, our Savior, has done. First, in our redemption, we can praise God this morning because He redeems us in love. That in love, He has redeemed. We already talked what that word redeem means, setting us free, buying us back, restoring us back to where we belong, back to our original position before Him. But He receives us in love. In verses 7 to 14, Ruth goes down to the threshing floor and she noticed where Boaz was. After he had lied down and went to sleep, she went down, she uncovered his feet quietly, and she approached his feet and she lay down. Boaz was startled in the middle of the night and saw her there and said, "Who are you?" And she said, I'm Ruth, your servant. Spread the corner of your garment over me." And he knew what that meant. She was saying, accept me, take me on as your, redeem me. And he said, this is kindness is greater than what you showed earlier, because you haven't gone after younger men. Boaz was a lot older than her, and said, and you have approached me and sought redemption. And he responded favorably. He said, I will do what you ask. When we come before our Lord, and aren't you thankful that when we become before our Redeemer, Jesus, His arms are open to receive us, and He receives us with love. And He says, I will do what you ask of me. And that's the kind of God we have. He receives us with love when we come before Him with reverence. Notice it said that she went down, she bowed before Him, she laid low, she laid at the corner of His feet, she laid at His feet, uncovered His feet in respect, and approached Him with reverence. And when we come before our Lord with reverence, He receives us. And what a privilege it is that the Scripture says that we can come with confidence into His very throne room with boldness because we come through Christ, knowing that we will be received because we come with reverence, bowing before Him, giving Him the awe and the reverence and respect that He is due. And when you come before Him that way, He will receive you. And His arms are wrapped around you, and He welcomes you with love when we bow before Him with that reverent heart and attitude. He also will receive us when we seek His protection. And Ruth, when he was startled, Ruth said, "Who are you?" And Ruth said, "I am Ruth. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." She was basically saying, take your responsibility. I'm placing myself under your authority, under your protection. I'm placing myself under you. And when we do that, our Lord receives us. When we seek His protection, she was protect me. She was a widow. She said, I need you. I need your protection, and take your responsibility. And when we seek our Lord's protection, asking Him to spread His garment of protection over us, to spread His wings over us, our Lord willingly does that. And it says He sends His angels to stand guard. Isn't that awesome? And He spreads His wings of protection over us when he responds in love. Because that's our Redeemer. That's who He is. That's the love He has for you. And He also responds in love and receives us in love when we acknowledge Him as our Redeemer. Because when we approach Him with reverence, bowing before Him, seeking His protection, putting ourselves under His care, and acknowledge Him as our Redeemer, He responds and He receives us. Notice what Ruth said. She said, spread the corner of your garment over me in verse 10, since you are a kinsman redeemer, since you are my Redeemer. She was acknowledging Him as her Redeemer. And when you and I come before Christ and we bow before Him in reverence, our Father, and we acknowledge Him as our Redeemer, He will save us. and he will receive us, and he will not cast us away. And he said, I will do for you what you've asked, he said. And we have that promise to know that he will receive us when we acknowledge him. For there's no other way except through Christ. So what does it mean to acknowledge him as our Redeemer? What did Ruth mean when she said, put your garment over me since you are a kinsman redeemer, since you are a redeemer? What did she mean by that? Well, a redeemer is someone, according to God questions, a redeemer is someone who is entrusted with securing one's release from oppression, harm, evil, enslavement, or some other binding obligation. Now remember, what kind of situation was Ruth in? She was destitute. She was a widow. She was in a desperate situation. She needed care. She needed someone to redeem her from that. And a redeemer is someone who is entrusted with rescuing us, securing our release from that oppression, harm, evil, enslavement, or whatever it is that was binding us. That's the term for what a redeemer is, and that's how they understood it. And that's what Ruth understood. She said, you're my redeemer. You're entrusted with releasing me, rescuing me from the desperate situation I'm in. And a redeemer restores the lost rights and freedoms of another by avenging any wrongs and paying whatever price is required to set the person free. Not only were they bound to secure the person, but they were bound to pay the price. Remember, we took the S&H stamps to the redemption center and paid the price to get the item. And a redeemer would be the one who would pay whatever price was necessary to set the person free. And that's what Ruth was asking. I know you'll be willing to pay whatever is necessary to redeem the land, to buy Abimelech's land so that I can be provided for and I will be released from this desperate situation I'm in, Ruth was saying. So in the book of Ruth, Boaz acts as a kinsman redeemer to both Ruth and Naomi, liberating them from destitution and widowhood and paying the price to buy back the land of Elimelech, taking Ruth as his wife. That's what she was asking and acknowledging. You're my redeemer. And she was acknowledging that. But Jesus is our kinsman redeemer, friends. And he secured our release, yours and mine, from the slavery of sin and death. And he paid the price to buy us back from Satan and to set us free. And isn't that worth a hallelujah? That's what he did. That's who our Redeemer is. That's what Jesus has done for us. Released, secured our release from our slavery, from our sin, from the desperate situation we were in, that were hopelessness on our way to hell. And he paid the price to set us free, to buy us back from Satan, and to set us free from the obligations of the law. Because what did the law require? When the law was broken, what did the law require? The obligations of the law brought what? Death. But Jesus liberated us from that, set us free, and redeemed us. Praise God. He is our Redeemer. And so we are released. He receives us in love when we acknowledge him as our Redeemer and we come to him and before him in reverence. But second, he reassures us as well by love, because we are redeemed by love divine. And he reassures us by his love. Not only receives us, but he reassures us. Notice what he says in verses 10 through 18. He then says to Naomi and to Ruth, he says, stay here for the night. Verse 13, he said, there isn't none who's closer than me. We'll get back to that. But he said, if he's not willing, I will do it. Lie here till morning. And in verse 18, Naomi said to Ruth, wait here, my daughter, and find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. And he reassured us and reassures us by his promises. And he said to Ruth, he said, "The Lord bless you, my daughter," in verse 10, "this kindness is greater than what you showed earlier. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all that you asked." And he promised her, "Yes, I will redeem you." And our Lord, through his promise to us, reassures us of his love, that when we call on the name of the Lord, we will what? Be saved. We have that assurance. "And these things are written to you that you may know that you have eternal life." God gives us that assurance and reassures us that, yes, I will redeem you. You call on me, I will do for you what you've asked. Satan sometimes likes to put those doubts in our mind. Are we really saved? Does God really love me? Will he really do what he said? But the Lord says, "I will do for you what you've asked." Not "I may," "I will." And we have that promise that we call upon the Lord, we will be saved. Amen? He redeems us. It's our assurance. "In these things are written that you may know you have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Through his promises to us, he reassures us of his love, that "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always. I will redeem you." Not "I may," "I will." And through his provision, he reassures us of his love. Because notice in verses 15 through 17, he says to Ruth, as he sends her back, he says, "Go back to Naomi." But before he does, he said, "Put your shawl out." And when he did, he put down and filled it with 6 measures of barley and said, "Take this back to you and Naomi." And he provided, not only promised his redemption, but provided abundantly as well, and took that back. And God, through his provision for you and I, shows us again the reassurance of his love. And think of the many ways God provides for you each day. Over and above his love and redemption, he provides his grace and his mercy, and all that we have comes freely from his hand abundantly, reassuring you of his wondrous love for you through his daily provision and care. Not only the keeping of his promise, but his provision, reassuring you that your Redeemer loves you and your Redeemer cares for you. And he provides all that we need and more. And also we're reassured of his love through his persistence. In verse 18, Naomi said to Ruth when she returned back, when she said, "How'd it go? What happened?" And she filled her in. And Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you see what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." And Naomi said to Ruth, Boaz is persistent. He's going to see this thing through. He's going to do what he said, and he's going to keep his promise to you, and he is persistent. Our Lord, through his persistence of you and I, shows and reassures his love, and that God, our Redeemer, Jesus, our Redeemer, never gives up on us. He never gives up. Even when at times when we fail, he remains faithful to us. Even the times when we are not faithful to him, he is faithful to us. He never, ever forsakes us. He never gives up. He's continuing to pursue us day in and day out, waiting for us to come to him. As that sheep that goes astray, he goes and searches us out. He doesn't wait for us to come back, but he goes looking for us. And he is persistent in his love for you and for me. That's our Redeemer. We are redeemed by love divine because he receives us in love. He reassures us by love. But third, he restores us through love. And that's part of the redemption, is being restored. That he restores us through his love. Verses 12 and 13, Boaz said to Ruth, Although there was one who was nearer of kin, there is a kinsman redeemer who is clearer than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good, let him redeem. But if he is not willing, as sure as the Lord lives, I will do it. Just wait here until the morning. Our Lord in his redemption restores us by his love because he is the only one who is able to pay the price to redeem us. He is the only one who can. Now, Boaz said to Ruth, she said, there is a kinsman, another kinsman redeemer who is a closer relative of Abimelech than I am. And we need to check with him first. And if he's not willing to, I will. But we find out that Boaz is the only one who was able here. He's the only one who is able to pay the price to redeem us because redemption requires a relationship. That's what the kinsman is all about. And he said, there has to have to be a relation, a kinsman, in order to redeem. There has to be some kind of relationship in order to buy the property of Abimelech, in order to restore it back to the family. There has to be a relationship. In order for our God to redeem us, there had to be a relationship. And what was that relationship? It was through Jesus, who is the Son of God and the Son of Man. Because he is the Son of God, he is able to pay that price that only God could pay. And because he was the Son of Man related to us, he could take our place for us. And that relationship had to be there. And only Jesus could fulfill that relationship because he is the only Son of God and the only Son of Man, perfect and united in him. And through Christ, he was the one who paid that price for us because nobody else could. There is only one Redeemer, and that's Jesus, the God-man, our Savior and Lord, able to pay the price because he fulfills that relationship that nobody else could. As a kinsman. But also redemption requires resources. Not only did there have to be a kinsman, there had to be a close relationship, but he had to be a redeemer. And we already talked about what a redeemer is. And they had to be both. And only that could be fulfilled through Jesus, both the relationship and the redeemer who had the resources to pay. And for Boaz, we're going to find out as we go into the next chapter, whenever Boaz approaches this other relative that is closer to Abimelech than he was, and he approaches him about buying the field, and we're going to get going ahead of the story a little bit, but he says, I'll do it, till he finds out that there was a certain cost that went along with it. He says, oh, I can't afford that, or I can't pay that. And he wasn't able to pay, didn't have the resources, but Boaz did, had the resources to pay for the field, to buy and redeem Ruth. Our Lord is the only one who has the resources to redeem us. And what were the resources? What did it cost? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, in him we have redemption. What had to be paid? It was through the blood, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of his grace. The price that had to be paid, the only one that had the resources that could pay for your sin and mine to buy us back and redeem us, was Jesus himself, the Son of God, who with his own blood paid the price for your sin and mine that we could not pay. That under the obligation of the law that required that payment, only Christ could fulfill. No one else could be our Redeemer. He's the only one who could pay the price. And he is also the only one who was willing to redeem and pay the price for us. The Son of God, the Son of Man. Redemption cost Christ everything. Christ paid that ransom that you and I could not pay to secure our freedom from sin and death by his own precious blood. And he is the only one who could do that. And he is the only one who was willing to pay the price. Notice what it said here in verse 13. He said, there is somebody closer, but he said, stay here for the night. And I'm going to see and check with this other guy and see if he is willing to redeem, if he's willing to redeem not. But if he is not willing, I will do it. Jesus was the only one who was willing to go to the cross and to die for you and to me, to pay the price of our redemption. And that was settled in eternity past before God even created anything. That was already determined that Jesus was going to go to the cross and pay that price for you and me. And he was willing to do it and to leave heaven for that purpose. That just blows my mind away. To think that Christ was willing to do that for me and to do that for you. Laying aside, listen to what the scripture says. Turn with me first to Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, or just listen if you want to turn there. But Paul writing, reminding us of this, God's grace said, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, we were in a desperate situation, just as Ruth was, Christ died for the ungodly. Then he says, very rarely would anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul said, very rarely would anybody die for a righteous man or someone else. But Jesus, when we, instead for a sinner, someone even wouldn't even think about dying. But Jesus died for us when we were still sinners, and God demonstrated his love for us. And in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, Paul talking about Jesus again, said, Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or held on to, but made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, again, the relationship God and man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He was willing to pay the price. He who was in very nature God did not consider that position something to be held on to, but was willing to lay all that aside, to be wrap himself in human flesh, to go to the cross, to pay the price for you and me, that we could be redeemed and set free. Man, doesn't that excite you? That's what our Redeemer did. That's who he is. That's our Redeemer. And he was willing to do that because he loved you, redeemed by love divine. And it was truly divine love that could do that. He would be willing to lay that aside and to come for you and me. Very rarely would someone die for a good man, but for sinners, someone wouldn't even think to die, Paul said. But yet God demonstrated his love for us in this one thing. Praise God for what it means to be redeemed by love divine. That when he receives us, in his love, when we bow before him, he reassures us by his love through his provision and promises. And he restores us through his love because he is the only one who can and the only one who was willing to. The old hymn says, I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now resign, for I have been redeemed. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for that promise of redemption, that you are our kinsman redeemer. And when we seek you and bow before you in reverence, asking you to spread the corner of your garment over us, to be our Savior, to redeem us, you respond to that invitation. And you say, I will And we thank you, Lord, that you have provided that way. And you receive us by your love, and you reassure us by your promises and your provision of that redemption that is secure in you. And Lord, through that redemption, you restored us back to you and the brokenness that sin had done, and that we are released from Satan's power and from the power of the penalty of the law, and we have been released and been set free and bought back to you. Thank you, Lord, for the power of redemption. And Lord, those of us that know you sing that song, I will sing of my Redeemer. And we glory in your name. And we are thankful for the redemption we have. And as the scripture said, let those who are redeemed say so. Because Lord, it is a true blessing. And for those of us that have experienced your redemption, we thank you. But if there's someone here this morning that yet has not come before you and ask you to spread the corner of your garment of redemption over them, that today would be the day that they make that decision. Because it is only until we make that decision that we can receive the redemption that you provided for us. So thank you, Lord, for that assurance. Thank you for what you've done. For you, our Redeemer, all praise, glory, and honor go to you. We thank you that we are redeemed by love divine. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.